Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello there, welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm all on my lonesome in the studio this week because Paul Keighley, David Jennings and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly are dispersed around England and Ireland. But never mind the fact that we're not all together doesn't mean we don't have the best racing preview programme for you of a great weekend. And this really is a good weekend. There's 9 races live on ITV4 from Doncaster, from Cheltenham and from Newbury. And then on Sunday, one of the races that gets the cockles of jumps fans' hearts warmed up. It's the Old Roan at Liverpool with some great names involved there. Let's crack on then and we'll start at Doncaster. But before we go through the races, Kills, do your Michael Fish impression for us. What's it going to be like this weekend? Because there are some horrific forecasts and people being very nervous about a glut of rain sweeping across Britain and Ireland.
Yeah, pretty horrific. I think Clark's courses at both Doncaster and Cheltenham earlier this week were expecting good to soft ground on the Saturday, but we're hoping Doncaster don't get too much because that might be under threat. It's already soft. Cheltenham's just gone soft in places, so it looks like that's very much going to be soft tomorrow as well. And we already know that it's bottomless at Newbury anyway, so mudlarks is what you want.
OK, let's hope the boys have identified some good value mudlarks for us. Let's go then. 9 races live on ITV4. We'll spin through and start at the 1:45 at Donny. Niall, how do Paddy Power bet?
So Troubadour is our 3-1 favourite currently. Abraham-a-Gold is 9-2. Art Power 9-2. Hong Kong 5-1. Brad the Brief 7-1. Flaming Princess 7-1. Milltown Star 8-1. And Villeneuve is 20-1.
David Jennings, I haven't heard your dulcet tones on a podcast for a while, so you can go first. How are things?
Dulcet tones, I haven't been called that for a while. Great. I love the start of the jumps. This is one of my favourite weekends. Cheltenham back, all very exciting. Do you want me to expand?
Well, I was just listening to the sound of silence in a David Jennings sentence, an amazing sound. No, tell us what's going to win 1:45.
Yeah, this is quite tricky. Obviously, we don't know just how soft it's going to get at Doncaster. To be honest, I thought the overpriced one was the Irish contender, Hong Kong, who seemed to benefit from the fitting of blinkers at Nace last week. And I just think the fact that he's won on soft to heavy and has ran previously, he was second to a decent enough sort at Limerick on heavy ground as well. Now, he's only rated 90, which means he's £11 to find with Troubadour. But I just wonder, these O'Brien horses, when they do start improving, the fact that he handles the ground, that he's been, you know, aimed at this race, I just thought 5-1 was a big price. Like, he's not against anything really special here. So at 5-1, I thought the value option was probably Hong Kong.
Kills, who do you like?
Yeah, nothing special in the race, like Dave said. I think it's very tight, though. I wouldn't be surprised if any of them won it. The two that sort of are on my shortlist, the Flaming Princess of Richard Fahey. She was 6 in the Cornwallis last time. I think she wants soft ground. I doubt it was soft enough for her. And she just got going too late. The only time she ran over 6 furlongs, she blew out badly. But I think she was beaten before the trip was an issue then. So I'd give her another chance. And Milltown Star just come back with a career best on soft ground last time, finishing second at Newmarket in what looked like a fairly good nursery. So there'd be my two against the field, but no great confidence in this one.
Niall, who is your selection?
This is actually one of my biggest fans of the day in Art Power for Tim Easterby, so I'm really hoping the meeting goes ahead. He was massively impressive visually at York last time, and having checked the times, it looks even better in the context of this race. Luckily enough, there was a handicap won by Moss Gill in the same card, who's rated about 90. He's a 3-year-old. And when you compare the times, they were very closely matched. I think Art Power would actually been second in that competitive handicap, which is very impressive for a 2-year-old to do, and only a second start. The fact he's proven with foot on the ground is also a big plus. And my only small concern is the step up and trip from 5 furlongs to 6 furlongs on this, what is going to be very deep ground if it goes ahead. But I think it'd be okay. I've seen 5-1 around. I could see him going off at 5-2 or shorter.
Okay, the 3:25 at Donny is the Vertem Futurity, previously known obviously as the Racing Post Trophy, one of the most prestigious 2-year-old races of the year and a springboard for classic winners down the years. This year's race is slightly different. It hit the headlines earlier in the week when 11 of the 12 entries came from Aidan O'Brien's stable. And sure enough, that has been reflected in the race itself. Six runners, five from Aidan O'Brien, and a sole entry from Andrew Boarding's stable. Mogul, the hot favourite, Niall.
Yeah, he's our 2-on favourite at the moment. Innisfree is 4-1, Cameco 9-2, Louisiana 16-1, Iberia 22-1, and Royal County Down is 40-1.
It's disappointing, Niall, isn't it? But I mean, I suppose Mogul could go on and be a decent horse, couldn't he? It's still a race, isn't it? What do you make of it? Is there a betting angle?
I think there is. It is a bit disappointing. I'm going to take on Mogul here. Like, he's 2-on at the moment with ourselves. If you're pricing the race based on form and looking at times and stuff like that, like, he'd be much bigger. The one I'm going to come down in is Cameco, obviously the only non-Aidan O'Brien horse in the race. But he was disappointing last time behind Royal Doranoff, but at least they actually, I think they broke the juvenile track record that day with the aid of a tailwind. But it gives the form a decent look. The third year of the Tiger went on to run quite well in the Dewhurst, went fourth. So I don't think it's the worst form in the world. Like Mogul's last two starts, when you watch the race at Leopardstown, you're not blowing away at all. And if you look at the time, it was very slow. It's about 3 seconds slower than the other 2 mile races on the same card. So I don't know, like he only did what he had, I suppose. But yeah, you couldn't put a positive spin on it looking at that. The other O'Brien horse, Innisfree, when looking at times for him as well, he's even more unimpressive. Like he won the Beresford on a card at the Curra. There was a maiden, a filly's maiden on the same card that was faster overall with faster sections. So I wouldn't be having him. Cameco brings the best form to the table. Like that second in Sandown's also worked out with Al Suhail, the Godolphin horse who was third, went on to run well at Newmarket last week. So yeah, I just think Cameco at the prices, like we're 9-2. I've seen as big as 6-1 out there. I think he'd be much shorter. So yeah, Cameco for me.
Okay, Kiels, are you going to desert the Fav as well?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, on times, he's definitely got loads to prove because, you know, he hasn't won a first time in his life. But he's the one the O'Briens seem to have come down on. And, you know, O'Brien's won this 9 times and the last 6 winners of his went off favourite. And the only, you know, British runner is Cameco. And I've got a real problem with him going on soft ground. And yeah, he looks good. He's got the best form. He's got the best speed figure, etc. But it's all fast ground form. And he's going to be running, if the meeting is on absolutely bottomless ground, I don't think he's bred for it.
So who are you going to go for?
I just think the favourite will win. The market just gets it right.
Okay, DJ, I mean, John Dance is a great guy. He's put so much into the sport and he's obviously, you know, stumped up to sponsor this Group 1. It's a shame for him, and we've got to hope it's a one-off, but we might get a decent winner out of it. You normally do, don't you? Who is the winner going to be?
Yeah, I agree with Kiels. I think Mogul will probably win. You could make a case for saying he's too short for what he's done so far. He's only officially rated 108, identical rating to Cameco. So, but I just think there's a couple of things. Like, I know the time, you're saying the time was very slow at Leopardstown, Niall, and that's a valid point. But the fact that it was so slow meant they kind of sprinted in the closing stages. And from the 2 furlong pole, they really did quicken up. And that's probably why he wasn't able to put distance and clear daylight between himself and Sinewan. On a line through Shechem, the Dermot Weld horse, Mogul beat Shechem by 3.25 lengths at the Curra, whereas Innisfree only beat Shechem by a neck on the 2 occasions they have met at Galway and the Curra. So on a strict line through Shechem, it might just be improving. Mogul is about a 3 length better horse than Innisfree, and that's the way the market has taken it as well. From talking to Dunica and from talking to Aidan all the way along about these juveniles, I just got the impression from both of them that Mogul was top of their pecking order. Now, obviously, Arizona ran a cracker against Pinatubo in the Dewhurst, but just from their point of view, Mogul is probably the unexposed, promising one who might just have more to offer. And I think he'll cope with the ground. You know, he's like his relations, you know, he's a brother to Japan, a brother to Secret Jester, a brother to Sir Isaac Newton. Like he's bred to be pretty special. And while he won't need to be pretty special to win this, I think he probably will. I think it's relatively straightforward. I think Mogul will beat Innisfree.
Okay, the 4 o'clock at Doncaster is far from straightforward. A very difficult 5 furlong handicap called the Doncaster Handicap. Let's get the prices from Niall.
Yes, we're paying 5 places here. And Came From The Dark is a 5-1 favourite. A Moment Of Madness is 6-1. Tarbouche 13-2. Danzino 8-1. Orvar 8-1. Fairy Stories 12-1. Copper Knight 14. The Heat 14. And it's 16-1 bar.
What have you sussed for us, Kiels?
Yeah, I've backed a couple. I mean, you can make a case for plenty, but I backed Orvar and Sahik. They were actually first and second on soft ground at this track in August. Orvar won, Sahik might well have won if he'd got a clear run. Orvar was a little bit in and out, but he was third last time at York, third of 22, bouncing back to form. He does like this track. He's £4 higher than last time, but he's still £10 lower than when he started the year, so he certainly handicapped the win. And I think Sahek has been running like a horse all season. He's a good deal better than his mark and hasn't had things quite go his way. He had an Eye Shield blinkers combination for the first time at Southall last time and won pretty easily. I think that might just boosted his confidence a little bit. He has won here as well as finishing second, and I do think he likes soft ground, so there'd be the two for me.
Who's the selection for you, David?
I'm quite sweet on Orvar here. I agree with Keels. I just thought the last day, I watched the race, and he would poke your eye out during the race. He travelled so well. And I just thought Danny Tudhope kind of two out. He had everything kind of beaten on his side. And Moss Gill and the action with the first and second kind of happened over the far side. Now, obviously, they weren't too far away from him. But I just thought he had everything kind of dealt with on his side. And I just thought if he came from the same position as where Moskill was, he would have got an awful lot closer. Just loved the way he travelled through that race. I was praying that he would be entered for this race and that he'd take up his engagement. And he has. He's off the same mark here in 91. Paul Hannigan takes over. You know, on some of his old form, he's really well handicapped. And yeah, like Keels, I'm pretty sweet on Orvar here.
And what about you, Niall?
Yeah, I thought McKenna was very interesting for Julie Camacho here. He ran very well in the Portland a few starts ago, coming up the far side on his own to finish a good seventh. He's beaten around two lengths. He then ran a Carrick last week in bottomless ground, which again, I suppose it could be here. But he looked disappointing on the face of it. But when you watch the race back, he shaped much better than that result. He was drawn very wide, nearly kind of rushed to the front, and then just got tired late on. He has form at Doncaster, and this 5 furlongs on soft ground should be his ideal, I think. As long as it doesn't get completely bottomless. So yeah, I think he looks overpriced at 20 to 1 or so. McKenna, that is.
Okay, Jumps fans, we'll get to Cheltenham soon. But first, let's do the two ITV4 races at Newbury. Starting with the 220, it's the Teddington RBL Poppy Appeal Stakes, better known as the St Simon, 1.5 miles on heavy ground. It'll take some getting. And what's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Yeah, so Miranda is our 5-2 favourite. Royal Line is 11-4. Young Rascal, 11-4. Manuela de Vega, 9-2. King's Advice 8-1 and Spirit of Happiness 25-1.
DJ, you're going first.
Yeah, I think listeners will know what I'm going to be going for here, and this is a proper horse, this Royal Line. This is the one, if you remember many moons ago, Bruce, I told you I had the winner of the Ebor. I told you to back Royal Line. Unfortunately, the ground didn't soften enough for him and he didn't take up his engagement there. But since then, he's been quite impressive, I thought, in a Group 3 at Kempton. And I just absolutely adored his run last week behind Kew Gardens and Stradivarius in the Long Distance Cup. Like, he obviously isn't as good as those two over that trip. But my God, the whole way through the race, the ease with which he travelled on that ground. I think 1.5 miles, bottomless ground at Newbury. Like, we've seen what he can do on soft ground. The way he won the November handicap at Doncaster last year off a mark of 105, to me, put him verging on Group 1 class on this type of ground. I think on this ground, over about 1.6 miles, he's a Group 1 horse. It's 1.4 miles here. I think he'll be fine. He's enough speed to cope with it. He's been trained all season with an autumn campaign in mind. I think on this ground, he's by far the best horse in the race. And I'll be bitterly, bitterly disappointed if Royal Line doesn't win.
A very confident vote for Royal Line for David Jennings. Niall O'Reilly, do you echo David's thoughts?
I echo it to the extent that I think he's the most likely winner, but I'm actually going to go for a value one in here. We're actually 9-2 bet Manuela de Vega, but there's as big as 8-1 out there, which I think looks very big for Rafe Beckett. Yeah, look, she looked like she's a bit defined, but with the weight for age at this time of year, I think it looks pretty generous to me. Like, she's getting £12 off Miranda and Royal Line. Miranda's just not a horse I like. I didn't like him last time at Ascot and he won easily, but I actually think that race fell apart. He won it in a slow time as well, so I wouldn't be taking that form too literally myself. Like I said, Royal Line is the master chance. Young Rascal is off in absence, so I don't know how you could back him. Rafe Becker is in unbelievable form. I don't know what his strike rate has been the last 2 weeks, but he's going so well. Manuela de Vega, I thought she wanted 1.6 miles, but it turns out I don't think she properly stays that. This drop back to 1.4 miles on proper soft ground could be her ideal condition. So yeah, at the price, I'm just going to chance her.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, King Rafe fans are really enjoying this current purple patch in the Maestro. Are you going to go with King Rafe as well, Keels?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I've already backed her. I mean, look, she does have a fair bit to find. I think she definitely wants soft ground. And she's actually going to get it for the first time this year. I mean, it was good to soft when she was second at Chester, and she really travelled really well on it then earlier in the season. And I think that's what she wants. She does have plenty to find. Obviously, I think Royal Lion probably is the one to beat, but he's penalised, and they are giving her a lot away. And it's funny, for an open group race, this has got to be one of the very few that's been won more times in the last 40 years by fillies and mares than it has by colts and geldings. I was speaking to Gerald Delamere the other day, and apparently it's 22-18 to the fillies, which is amazing. You don't normally get that sort of stat. And for whatever reason, whether it's autumn, fillies improving in the autumn just seem to take off. But I will take a chance on her because I think she's been waiting for soft ground.
Okay, so David Jennings likes Royal Lion, and the other two like Manuela De Vega for Inform King, Rafe Beckett, who is also the man with the plan in our next race, the 250, the CanCom Stakes, better known as the Horace Hill Stakes. It's for two-year-olds over 7 furlongs, and Beckett is the man with the favourite here in Kinross, Niall.
Yeah, he is indeed. Kinross are 6-5 favourite. Year of the Tigers 5-1. Boccaccio was 11-2. New World Tapestry 6-1. Surf Dancer 7-1. Kenzie Warrior 9-1 and 20-1 bar.
Pretty easy this, Niall, isn't it? Fav wins.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see this horse. It was definitely the most impressive being with a debut. He absolutely bolted in Newmarket. Just won so easily. The way he went through the race, everything. I was hoping that the clock would back it up. Obviously, like when it does, and when you break it down, it was a monstrous effort as well. He ran an overall time nearly a second and a half faster than the handicap on the same card won by Dutch Treat. That's the equivalent of about 7 lengths. On top of that, he ran the fastest closing section on the entire card. And to do that on top of a very fast overall time, it takes some doing. So he could be a serious horse. I actually think he's the value in the Guineas market as well. If he gets beaten here, I'd be so disappointed. It's not a strong field. Obviously, the stable is bombing, as we said earlier. So yeah, Kinross for me.
Do you like Kinross, Kills?
I certainly liked the performance. I'm just a bit worried about a horse that runs so well first time and then coming out just a couple of weeks later on what's going to be awful ground and repeating it. It's funny, I fell for one last year in this race, 11-8 favourite, like Kinross, had won by 8 lengths the previous time, put up a fair figure, not as big as Kinross to be fair, but sunk without trace at odds of 11-8. You know, apparently only 3 of the last 40 winners of this came straight from a maiden after one run. I don't know whether that's because the fact that it's always bottomless ground there, but I think you probably need a bit of experience. And, you know, my other worry is that he's done all that very nice and easy, but he's by Kingman, and I think Kingman gets a fair few softies. And if it does, you know, if he doesn't really like the ground, I'd just see him chucking it in. It's a bit early to say that about any horse when he's won so easily first time out. But, you know, I'm not going to be betting 5-4 shots on bottomless ground second time out at Newbury. So it'll have to be something else in the race for me. And I think Year of the Tiger, Aidan O'Brien's, you know, there's plenty of good form there. Okay, beaten 6¾ lengths by Pinatubo in the Dewhurst last time. But you know, you can knock that as much as you like. But it's probably the best form in the race as it stands, even, you know, better than what Kinross did first time out. So he's, you know, still got to improve to win at odds of 5-4. And no, it doesn't interest me. And if you want to back a complete outsider, I don't think Ropey Guest is being given an awful lot of credit for what he's done. He's been placed in 3 Group 3s already this season. Okay, he's only a sort of a 99 rated horse, but the Mill Reef is never that good a race. It dropped in value over the years, and you know, you don't get many brilliant horses running it anymore. So he's a 40-1 shot. I might have a little bit each way on that too.
There wouldn't be too many races where Aidan O'Brien has 2 runners and they're ridden by Frankie Dettori and Sean Levy down the years. DJ, what's your view on the Fav here?
Yeah, I like, after Pinatubo's National Stakes win at the Curragh, this performance was the one that I was most impressed with by a juvenile this year. It was just everything you'd want. You know, he kind of was sluggish enough away, and just the ease with which he got it done, like, was seriously, seriously impressive. Now, I know where Keels is coming from. That horse last year, I think Keels was chairman of the board of Mick Shannon's, and I remember being on this podcast with you and you tipping it up, and I was thinking, this horse must be a monster if Keels is tipping up a short price favourite that has only ran once, like, do you know? So I kind of fell for it myself last year, and there is the temptation to do similarly here with Kinross. I think it's a case of not backing him maybe here, but if you think he'd win, back him for the guineas, because to me, if I was having, like Niall, if I was having a bet on the Guineas now, I'd back Kinross, given the time, given the ease at which he won. As regards Year of the Tiger, like the one bad piece of form is that superlative stakes run. But Aidan has said time and time again that he was completely sick that day. He came back, he wasn't right at all. And, you know, he had a couple of months off. And his two runs since then have been rock solid. Like, you could definitely see him finishing in the three. The one that I thought could be a huge price here and that could run well is Impressor of Marcus Tregonnings. Just thought he hated the really quick round last time. Couldn't handle it at all. I think these conditions would be more to his liking. There was soft in the going description when he won at Salisbury. I think he's a decent horse. Now, whether he's good enough to win this, I don't know. But he's going to be a huge price. He could be 33-1. I could see Impressor running really well. But I do really hope and pray that Kinross wins.
Well done, lads. Great stuff there on our five flat races. We've got four fascinating but fiendishly difficult races at Cheltenham coming up.
So, doesn't each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Let's tackle these four races at Cheltenham. We know the rain is coming. The ground is going to be very, very soft indeed. And they're wide open, these races. The first is the 2 o'clock, the Matchbook Betting Exchange Handicap Chase. Over 3 mile one. Niall, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
So there's another one of our extra place races. We're paying 5 places here, which is definitely needed. Looks so competitive. The Young Masters, 7-1 favourite. Cogri is 7-1. Rock the Casbah, 8-1. Captain Chaos, 8-1. One for Road Tom, 8-1. Rocky's Treasure, 10-1 and 12-1 bar.
You'd have backed a few of these down the years, Kills, wouldn't you? Who's going to come out on top?
Pretty much all of them, to be honest. I would say, you know, the thing about this race is it's absolutely dominated the market by horses that want good ground. And they ain't going to get it. It's gone soft in places before the first race at Cheltenham today. So I think you need to look a little bit further down the market for a bit of value. There's two that I like. One of them is Captain Chaos for Dan Skelton. Now, he's had a run. You've got to forgive that run because he was 6-7 to Bally Optic. Got beaten miles. But that was at that Chepstow meeting a couple of weeks ago, and there were loads of horses that just needed to run badly there. So I'd be happy enough to forgive that. He's been rated as high as 144. He started last season on 142. Didn't hit any good form until he got some soft ground. Then he was second in the rehearsal chase at Newcastle and second again in the Roland Merrick at Wetherby. And he's on a mark of 133 now. I think that's a mark that he could well take advantage of. He was sixth in the Kim Muir in March as well on easiest going. So he handles the ground, and that was under Gina Andrews. He's got Bridget Andrews on this time. So I think he's got a big shot. And the other one is West Approach. A right old hound of a dog, and you just don't know what sort of horse is going to turn up. He actually got smashed off the boards in the Bet365 Gold Cup last year. When we last saw, he was 6-15 there. Went off 5-1 favourite, having been the previous five starts, 25s, 40s, 20s, 30s, 33s and 33s. Don't know what he was doing at that price, but he was a decent, you know, it was a decent hurdler, 150s odd, and he's always gone extremely well fresh. He was third in this race last year, first time out for mark 143. He's £3 lower now. He won a novice chase by 9 lengths first time up in 2017. Was second to Holstone over hurdles at this track, first time out in 2016. So this might be the time to catch him. He's 16-1. Strange to see about a horse who went on 5-1 for such a big race on his last start.
Okay, Kills is chucking a couple of darts at the opener at Cheltenham. Captain Chaos and West Approach. What is your strategy going to be, David Jennings?
I fancy West Approach. Sorry about this, Kills. I'm ruining all your Saturday selections. Echo basically everything Kills has said. Like, I think with West Approach, I think he's one of these horses, and we all know what these are like, that you just catch them one day. I think you get one day out of them, and I just think this could be the one day with West Approach. He's not going to live up to earlier expectations. Like, when he won his bumper first time out at Newbury, he was on bottomless ground. So you know he copes with conditions. He's won after 197-day break. His best run of last season was on the back of 189-day break. And just when you go through the different snippets of form, like, he's rated 150 over hurdles, he's £10 lower over fences, he goes well fresh, he handles the ground, and on a line through, just say, Paisley Park, who he was second to in the long walk at Ascot last year, he's only beaten 2 lengths. Like, if he does get into a rhythm here and he's on a going day, like, he had some really good horses behind him that day, the likes of Top Notch and Call Me Lord and all them type of things. So off 140, given how well he goes fresh, it's just got to be West Approach for me.
You're going to go for West Approach, Niall?
Yeah, I'm actually a bit sickened that the two lads have put it up. I really fancy this. He just looks the best handicapped horse in the race to me. He was a very good turn in the race last year, as Keel said. He's 3 pence lower here, and he's Robbie Powerell, who I think is one of the best jockeys at getting horses jumping, because his jumping can be a bit sketchy at the time. As Keel said as well, he was smashed up in the Bet365 Gold Cup last year. I remember pricing the race and seeing the gamble and wondering where they were seeing this from, considering the trip, but we couldn't stop laying him. He went off 5-1 or so, and he just didn't seem to stay to me. Colin Tizard has started the season quite well, and this horse, as Keel said, I think they've mentioned as well, his record fresh reads a 1-2-1-3, and he's gone close when he was second and third in very good races. He obviously handled soft ground, so that suits as well. As the lad said, he's rated 151 over hurdles, having chased home Paisley Park a few times. Just off a mark of 140. It's in 16-1 around. I'd be single figures. I think we're 12 at the moment. But West are both quite strong in this.
Sensational start to our Cheltenham preview. All three of the lads going for a 16-1 shot in Western Approach. Let's see what they make of the next race. The 2:35, the Masterson Holdings hurdle over 2 miles and half a furlong. Niall, give us a show.
Torpillo is our 9-4 favourite. Kelistan 7-2. Soviet Pimperel 7-2. Nelson River 6-1. Fanfan Desoy 15-2. Construct 8-1. Having a good time 12-1. Kaiser 20. And the outsider field is Efrenok Fizz at 40.
And DJ, we're back with you to go first.
Yeah, I think this will probably go to Soviet Pimperel. They think the absolute world of this horse. Oh my God. This is the next Peregrine run in the Peter Fatty stable. They just absolutely adore him. And his form is starting to stack up a little bit. The Listowel bumper he won. He beat the Little Yank. The Little Yank has come back and won twice and did well to win a Cork last Sunday. Now, he jumped a little bit big at Goran Park last time, and it looked as if he'd been schooled over fences the way he jumped. But speaking to the jockeys that day, I think the hurdles at Goran Park that day were quite abrupt, and a lot of horses were getting scared by it, and we had a few fallers at Goran that day. So I wouldn't read too much into how high he jumped there. He's obviously got a serious engine. Like, his debut form behind Six Shooter at Leper Center, he was only sent off 2-1 for it was snowing heavily that day. That seems pretty good for him as well. Now, he has huge improvement to find. Like, he's run against horses that are rated 148 and 142. But hearing the things I'm hearing about him and just looking at him in the flesh, I think he has the potential to be at least a grade 2 hurdler. Now, he'll need to be here and he lacks experience, but I think he's worth taking a chance on. You know the way sometimes you just get an impression with a horse? I think he could be a very good horse. So Soviet Pimpernel for me.
Okay, and Niall, do you agree with that one?
I do, yeah. I hadn't really heard much about the horse, and then I got a tip for it on Monday or Tuesday and was told to back it for this race. Now, I just thought that would mean the race is going to cut up, which it normally means when you get a tip in this office. But someone had obviously heard this is working very well, similar to what Dave said, that the vibes are extremely strong. Now, on form, I think race and post ratings needed to find about 40 pounds or so, but I think it's much closer than that. Like, Torpillo's rated 148 and must be one of the worst handicapped horses going into the season. I think that race he won at Chepstow must have been awful if he was able to win that so easily. Kelistan could go off favourite today, but he was disappointing at bat. So yeah, Soviet Pimpernel, the fact of bringing him over and as the vibes are so strong, yeah, I'll just stick with him.
I suspect the universal views of these races are about to end. Kiels, this isn't not your sort of horse.
It's not my sort of horse at all, is it? Christ almighty, are you really going to back a horse at 7-2 with 3 stone to find? Beat a horse by 2.5 lengths last time. Okay, it won easily. That horse was rated 92. No matter how well you think Torpillo is handicapped, this isn't a handicap. And, you know, he would have beaten that horse by 35 lengths on the bridle. So, look, he might be a really, really good horse. We might see it, but he's priced up as though he already is, and that's stupid. You got to lay him for a place. He's, you know, don't bet him a 7-2 now. If he doesn't drift, I'll give up the game, no matter how much they fancy him. I mean, let's just say Efrenok Fizz, who looks like the 40-1 outsider, has an official rating of 142. You know, I mean, he's 2 stone better than Soviet Pimpernel, and he's 40-1. Something wrong with the market. If you want to back a horse at that price, then you're in the wrong game. You really are.
Two words for you, Kills. Two words. The Revenant.
Didn't win, did it? And I'm back the winner.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, the Revenant didn't have that much to find anyway, did it? To be fair, like, you know, I mean, you know, he only had 5 or 6 pounds to find, not 35 or 36. Like, you know.
Can I just say one thing? he hasn't had a chance to prove that he's up to that mark. This is I know you're only saying the market.
But he's priced as though he's the second best horse in the race. When his form tells you he's easily, at the moment, got the worst form. He ran to a Racing Post rating of 108. We've got Torpello running at 147. I mean, that's a world of difference.
Who wins, then, Kiehl's?
I think Torpello wins. I don't think he's the most robust horse in the world, but, you know, he was very, very impressive on soft and heavy ground. First two starts last season, obviously didn't beat a great deal, and then he lost his form. But, you know, this is only his second start. And, you know, I thought he looked good at Chepstow. He looked like he was going to win all the way round, and I think he might do it again.
Okay, one of the beauties of this time of year is all our old favourite names coming back out, and there's loads of them here in the 3:10, the Randox Health Handicap Chase. Over 2 miles on soft ground. It's going to be a really interesting race, this. 4-1 the field, Niall.
Yeah, it is 4-1 the field. McGroarty is our 4-1 favourite. Nottingham is 5-1. Freeland Das 5-1. Then Calvados 6-1. Masterwork 7-1. Duke and Avon 8-1. Dude for the Village 8-1, Marek Budget 8-1, and 10-1 Bar.
Who's your money on, Niall?
I'm quite sweet on one here as well. Marek Budget for the Skeleton. He's been in my tracker since last season. He ran a very eye-catching race in the Grand Annual. Horses that were held up that day in that race were at a massive disadvantage because of how slow they went. And he actually ran really well. He was held up to an extreme, made up a lot of ground late on. He got as close as he could in the circumstances, and he's £2 lower here. I've had a feeling that they might target a race like this with him. He's run two below average races in his last two starts. So I think they were just kind of protecting this mark and waiting for one of the big meetings. The race itself, to me, doesn't look great. And you've got the added benefit in there because he needs a fast pace. You have Knocknanus, who's an aggressive front runner, and you have St. Calvados in here. So I think they're going to go off pretty hard and take each other on. I think they're going to set it up for Marek Budget, who I think is the best handicapped horse in the race. The Skeletons are obviously, they're always going well, but they're going well at the moment. So at 8-1, I definitely think he's worth backing.
Niall likes Maracuja. Kiehl's, who do you like?
I'd like to ask Noel a question.
Go on.
How do you get a thoroughly exploded dodge pot like Maracuja in your tracker? What on earth is that about?
I was just doing it.
A good horse with Paul Nicholls in 1974, for Christ's sake. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, he hasn't won for ages. Can't see it. Bryony Frost had to absolutely kid him home in February 2018. That's when he last won. Take him out of your track. Don't use a tracker, mate. Waste of time. Anyway, one good point you have got there was the fact that he's going to be really, really strongly run. And I think that might suit Duke of Navan. He might be rising 12, but he was second in the race last year. Only just beaten by ahead by Modus. He's on the same mark. He's going to get the race run to suit. He yaks on good or soft ground. And I think he'll run well.
How can you possibly decry trackers? You've got the worst memory on planet Earth.
Yeah, but it means I have to dig into the race again and have a proper look, rather than say, let's have a look at this. I mean, you've got to really... How could you be in anyone's tracker? I bet it's not in anybody else's tracker.
Yeah, but trackers per se, honestly, I find my tracker is the most useful tool I have. It gives me so many winners, honestly.
Fear that I will just get lazy and back whatever's in it, which I don't think you should do.
Well, the other trouble is, of course, you end up with a Graham Rodway tracker, which has got virtually 60% of all horses in training.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
David Jennings, who wins this?
I'm all over St. Calvados here, Bruce, for a couple of different reasons. The first of them is, I think with St. Calvados, in many ways, is a bit like Apple's Jade, which will sound absolutely bizarre. But I think Apple's Jade in the first half of the season bullies horses from the front that are not fit enough, that are gradually getting into their season and are not ready. They're not a pitch. They're just not a pitch point for the season, and she takes care of them. I think St. Calvados does something similar. If you remember, this time last season, he made his first start of the season at Nace in a race that Footpad was in. Footpad fell at the last. He had Footpad completely taken care of. Because it was Footpad's first start of the season, he just annoyed him and take him out of his comfort zone. And I think that's what St. Calvados does. I think on deep ground at this time of the year, when he's fresh and when all the others are just needing a run, I think he exposes the chinks in their armour at this time of the year. So I've been waiting all summer for St. Calvados to come out. I thought he might potentially run in the old Roan at Aintree, but he's going to get his ground here. Obviously, there's a load of front runners in the race, but I don't think any of them are are going to go as quick as St. Calvados does. And I think he's going to take so many of them out of their comfort zone. And a lot of them are having their first starts of the season. He's had a wind operation. For the last couple of seasons, he's produced arguably his best performance first time out. So now is the time to catch him. I think off 155, he's capable of winning on this ground. So it is a strong vote for St. Calvados for me.
And wrapping up a marathon nine race TV session is the 3:45 at Cheltenham, the Potemps Network Handicap qualifier over 3 miles. Blimey, this is tough. Niall, take it away with the show.
So To Be Fair is our 5-1 favourite. I Write is 5-1. Robin the Raven is 6-1. The Clock is Ticking 6-1. Gunfleet 8-1. Captain Tommy 9-1. Sunset Showdown 9-1. Never Been to Paris 9-1. And it's 12-1 back.
Kiels, before you tell us who you think is going to win, just take us through what the situation is with Potemps qualifiers. What do they need to do? Just turn up or, you know?
No, they have to finish in the first six, basically. So, you know, if you finish in the first six, you are qualified. Now, the other thing is you probably have to be rated somewhere between 135 and 138 to get in. So, you know, I don't think this race is, you know, it's too early in the season to be, has ever, you know, or at least in the last 10-15 years produce the winner of the race. They're normally running ones closer to the meeting, but all bar a handful of these probably need to win to get in it anyway.
And who's going to win it
and then protect their handicap marks afterwards? Well, I'm hoping Gunfleet. I'm not sure he wants to ground that soft, but you know, I think he looked like he might be a potentially good novice chaser last year when he started really well when he was second to Justice Sting, but he lost his confidence a bit after that. And I just like the way he ran over hurdles at Stratford last couple of weeks ago, went fourth to Ball and Bill. He might have been favourite. I think 2 miles, 6 furlong around Stratford was way, way sharp, too sharp for him though. He's already a three mile winner on his last novice hurdle in February 2018. And the winner of that is now rated in the high 140s. And I just think he's very, very unexposed as a hurdler, and he's running off a mark of 133 for Emma Lavelle, who's had a lot of horses run really well already this season. He'd be the one for me.
Okay, there's 13 runners, and it's a fifth the odds of the first four, so an extra place at paddypower.com and on the Racing Post app. David Jennings, who do you like here?
I like two. My second choice would be Gunfleet. My first choice would be The Clock is Ticking for Stuart Edmonds and Kieran Gettins. Has had a wind operation. Probably hasn't lived up to expectations. Like, he's been sent off favourite or joint favourite on his last three starts, but like, they are, you know, hot handicap chases at Uttoxeter twice, and last time at Warwick in another handicap chase where just it was a funny sort of race, just kind of got a pace at a crucial stage and rallied a little bit. But Warwick is a funny track. Them fences come thick and fast on the side of the track, so I'd be willing to forgive him that. If the wind up has made a difference off mark of 132, I think he's got a right chance here. He's ran well at Cheltenham before. He was actually sixth in the Potemps final behind Sire de Berlay in March, and again stayed on quite strongly that day. That was off a mark of 138, so he's £6 lower now. So I think The Clock is Ticking. If that wind operation has made a difference, I think he'll be banged there.
Niall O'Reilly, who's your selection?
The one I'm picking has Never Been to Paris for Harry Whittenden. Now, he had his first start for the stable about 2 weeks ago. He was second to Boreham Bill, who runs at Cheltenham today. That was quite a good debut. At the time, Harry Whittenden's horses weren't running brilliantly, but he's had a couple of winners since that. So I think this horse will actually come on for the run. He's off 129 and he's very unexposed for this trainer. I'd imagine they're targeting the Potemps final at the festival in March. So he'd want to be winning this and at least qualifying early. So yeah, that's Never Been to Paris for Harry Whittenden.
Have you ever been to Paris, Niall?
I don't think so. No, I haven't.
You'd think you'd know, wouldn't you?
No, sorry, I was trying to think back.
It's got that big pointy tower in the middle of it.
No, I thought I was there in a school tour or something like that back in when I was 18 or so, but or 17. But I haven't been.
Into the King's Arms, is it? Like, you know, it's fairly unique.
I might have done, yeah. Okay, right then, chaps. Let's see what else you fancy. We've got Kelso, loads of runners at Kelso. Really, really competitive eight race card there. We've got Leopardstown, we've got Galway, and we've got Chelmsford. We've also got the Cox Plate. I think one of you might have a view on that. So, round-up time, and we'll start with Paul Keighley.
Yeah, Kelso, 3 o'clock, quite interesting race. Obviously, one for Arthur coming back, former Grand National winner. Vintage Cloud in that race. Got a really, really good work called Fresh, but Sue Smith started incredibly slowly this season, so I'll be worried about that. And I think I like the Nigel Twisson Davies top weight, Blue Flight, really progressive novice chaser. Finished fourth to taking risks in the Scottish National on his last start. Got a fair amount of weight to carry, but it's only a six-year-old and has a fair amount more improvement in him, I'd have thought. In the 4:55 at Cheltenham, I think First Assignment. I think my First Assignment won the Per Temps race on this meeting last year. Has a go over fences. Very interested to see how he goes. Good little race. Pim has reportedly jumped really well, but I thought he was a bit soft last year. But we'll see how he goes. But they'd be the two for me for the rest of the Saturday.
DJ, have you just got two?
Four, but I'd be very quick. Starting off in that 4:55 at Cheltenham. I just wonder, a bit like West Approach earlier on the card, I wonder, is it the day to catch Slate House, who was held in the highest regard earlier on in his career for Colin Tizzard? Puppy Power takes the ride. Like, the second, the Huntsman's Son at Newbury last year is a pretty decent run in the context of this race. He has a bit of experience under his belt. Like, he started chasing off 141, and that's pretty high level. And he has good form at Cheltenham. So I'd be willing to just give Slate House another chance in that 4:55. He ran a shocker in the Arkle, but... just that experience might tell. In the 2:40 at Galway, Gold Speed won a Navan bumper from the front, and it was a decent enough Navan bumper. Makes his debut over hurdles, and just think, he might just get away from the front. That's Gold Speed in the 2:40 at Galway. In the 5:35 at Galway, Fakir the Large runs for Noel Mead, has finished third, was sent off favour for a listed bumper at Limerick on his debut, was third in a Hot Punches 10 bumper last time as well. Repeats either of those runs, I think it'll be good enough to win the 5:35 at Galway. And one at a bigger price in the Tote October Handicap at Leopard Centre, 4:50. I just think Inscribe has a big handicap in him on soft ground. Geraldine's is going to be gunning for Colin Keane to win the title. Obviously, Dunica's on duty at Doncaster, so this is Colin's day to try and catch up with Dunica's four behind. I think Inscribe, on this ground, over this trip, I think he could be a big player, and he's likely to be a double-figure price. That's Inscribe in the 4:50 at Leopard Centre.
Thank you, DJ. Niall, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I have two. One is in the last race at Doncaster, so the 5:10. It's interesting, we were actually talking about it earlier, but chairman of the board, who went off favour for that Newbury race that Kinross is favour for, he's running in a handicap here off 84. Now, he hasn't had a great season, but if this meeting goes ahead, this ground should be right up the street. It's an apprentice handicap, so Scott McCulloch would be one of the best riders in the race. And yeah, just off that mark, 84, the fact he definitely handled heavy ground as he won his maiden on it, he looked very well treated, an average race. The other race, the 5:25 Chelmsford. Now, I don't normally bet in class six classified stakes, but there's one on my tracker here again. It's called Salmon Fishing. It's trained by Mohammed Mubarak or something like that. He's just been shaping very well in his last couple of starts, and this looks truly awful. So if he can't win this, I'll be taking him out of the tracker. My other one is in the Cox Plate, but do you want to wait, or will I go with that now?
Yeah, let's do the Cox Plate. When is that? And where? Well, we know where it is. It's at Moonee Valley. And it's an early start, isn't it? So Saturday morning, 6:55, 5 to 7, if you get up and stick it on the TV, you'll be able to watch the Cox Plate, a race which Winx has won for the last 4 years, but she's packed off to the paddock, so it won't be her. Who will it be, Niall?
There's a UK horse in here that I think is very interesting. It's called Danceteria. It's trained by David Menusier, if I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah, he's got a... that was close, though. he's got a serious record when racing abroad. He's won several races in France, and I think one in Germany. He was last seen in the UK when he was 4th of 8 in the Eclipse behind Enable, with Magical, obviously, in second. And he delights Mustachery, who won a few weeks ago in Newmarket, in behind him. I think that's actually up there with the best form in the race. Like, Magic Wand is a 12-1 shot. I think he's got better form than her at the moment. I think we're at 17-1, which is a new price I'm seeing here. But like, he's 16-1 generally. I think that looks very big. He's got a serious turn of foot, so I think this racing in Australia will really suit him. So watch him coming for a late run. That's a Danceteria.
DJ, you've been to a Cox Plate, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, what a night.
Can Jamie Spencer win a race? Moonee Valley's got a very short straight, hasn't it?
Oh, it's funny, they ride completely differently in Australia to what they do here. Like, if you don't get a gap in Australia, you just wait there. You don't try and force the gap, because they just give out suspensions for everything over there. So, like, I remember I had a few bets at Moonee Valley when I was over there, and you could be in the perfect position, third on the inside, turning for home, and you're like, this is travel, like a dream the whole way. and then you just stay there. So it's very, very frustrating. Maybe it is tailor-made for Jamie Spencer trying to weave in and out, but I'm not sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I thought Magic Wand had a big chance, but yeah, maybe Dan Cetera for David Muncier. Is that better?
No, that's hopeless as well. Which of David Winks... Manusier. Yeah, that's it. Which of Winks's Cox plates did you see, DJ?
The third one, the one that she gave everybody a heart attack. It was... The second horse was... Oh, God. It'll come to me. Continue on, it'll come to me.
Don't worry about it. But that'd be one, that would be one of the great trips, that, wouldn't it, Down Under? I mean, I know it's obviously expensive, but I mean, if you've got it on your bucket list, do try and tick it off, because the Spring Carnival's something else, isn't it?
Unbelievable, yeah. Oh, I still dream about it. Yeah, it was magic.
Excellent stuff. Right then, let's get some naps, and hopefully people can win enough to book a ticket for the Melbourne Cup.
This will not be beaten.
Kills, lead on.
Yeah, I think Gunfleet in the 3:25, 3:45 at Cheltenham.
Which one is it?
I have no idea. Hang on a sec.
It's a 3:45.
It's a 3:45, yeah, Gunfleet. I think it's
okay.
Very well handicapped.
David Jennings?
The Humidor was the name of the horse that Winks just beat that day, by the way. Mine, I'd be so disappointed if Royal Line doesn't win the 2:20 at Newbury.
Oh, you be prepared to be disappointed then. And Niall O'Reilly?
2 o'clock Cheltenham West approach.
Well done, mate. Right, that's lovely. Let's look at Sunday, because there's some great stuff coming up.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the best weekend racing preview show anywhere. It's the Racing Postcast. Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, David Jennings, and Paddy Powers, Niall O'Reilly. Let's look ahead to Sunday then, and one of the best Sunday jumps races you'll get all season. It's the 3 o'clock at Aintree. The Virgin Bet, Monet's Garden, Old Roan, a limited handicap over 2.5 miles. Some great names in here. Niall O'Reilly gives a show of betting from Paddy Power.
So Kalashnikov is our 5-4 favourite. Frodon is 5-2. Born Survivor 13-2. Forest Bean 13-2. Big Martyr 14. And Fine Angel is 14 as well.
Should be a cracker, David Jennings. Who will pass the post in front?
Oh, I absolutely love this race. Oh, I love it. I think Forrest Behan will, would you believe? Obviously, Froden, Ryanair winner. Kalashnikov, grade one winner at Aintree. Both very, very good horses. Proper grade one horses. But I just think with Forrest Behan, one of the things is obviously is Brian Ellison would bloody train me to win a sprint the way he's going at the minute. Everything he's throwing at the track is winning. And with Forrest Behan, I just think... He's rated 149, and he's so used to, he's not a grade one horse, so he's so used to carrying big weights and handicaps and running well, that I think the fact that he's able to carry 10 stone 4 here is going to be massive for him, because he's not the biggest horse in the world.
Why do you have to say that? Why does everyone say that? Just say he's a small horse. There's only one horse in the world who's the biggest horse in the world, so it's not likely to be him, is it?
Whoa. I don't know.
Brilliant. Go on. Gets Bruce's goat. Yeah.
Just drives me mad. Everyone says it. Go on.
I feel like I haven't put the bins out and Aoife's given out to me there or something. Well, that took me back a bit. He's quite a small horse, so I think the fact that he only has to carry 10 stone 4 will suit him. He just blew up in between the second last and the last at Kelso in his reappearance. You know, he's got some really good form, like fourth in the Grand Annual. Obviously, he has to get up to a level that he's probably never reached before. I just think the way the race is likely to be run, and I do think he'll stay. I think he'll creep into contention under Brian Hughes, so Forrest Behan for me.
Is that going to be the last time you tip that horse, DJ? Because you tip him every single time, don't you?
Yeah, I'm petrified to do anything now.
Right then, Noel, what have you got for us?
Look, Brodon's a top-class horse. I'd probably back Kalashnikov to beat him outright off levels. So the fact he's getting a stone here, if he can't beat him, I'd be very, very disappointed. He has the course form from last year when he obviously won the Manifesto quite impressively. And I think he's a serious horse to go to war with for Amy Murphy. I think they're doing the right thing. They're going to target the Ryanair this year. He's only a 6-year-old at the moment, so he's plenty of time to go for the Gold Cup the following year and the years after that. So, yeah, that's Kalashnikov. I think he should be winning this.
Kills, it's a great day, isn't it, when you get the chance to see the likes of Frodon and Kalashnikov in action against each
absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely. I don't think Frodon ever gets the credit he deserves. He's an absolutely top-class horse, and I tell you what, I'd be smashing him up all over the place off levels against Kalashnikov at the moment. He, you know, for horses only a year older than Kalashnikov, he's achieved an incredible amount, you know. He's earned 570 grand worth of prize money so far. He's only seven. A lovely horse. And obviously, Bryony Frost gets on really well with him. It is a massive task to win a handicap off a mark of 169, though. Forrest Behan, I was convinced he wouldn't stay, hence I had a good bet on him for the 2 mile race at Cheltenham instead. This is the first time he's running over 2.5 miles for about 3 years. Didn't get it over hurdles. We'll see. I like Born Survivor, first time after a wind up. He's got a fairly impeccable record when fresh. Again, another one with a low weight. Dan Skelton said it is stable tour that he thinks he might still be improving. He's only fairly lightly raced for an 8-year-old. He's won 4 of his 10 chases, won 2 of his last 3, won very easily at the Scottish National Meeting off of mark of 142. Obviously, he's £10 higher now, but he's got a fair engine on him, and the time to catch him is first time up.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, chaps. Some good stuff there. We've also got on Sunday the rest of the entry card, obviously, Wincanton, Wexford, Galway. There's a couple of Group 1s down at Longchamp as well. Some really interesting runners in action there, including Larty Dar. Who do you like, Kills? What have you got for us away from the old Roan?
Just a couple. Aintree, there is a veterans chase at 150, so I was always going to be very interested in that. My old mate Theatre Guide runs in that, but I think he probably needs another run given the way he ran at Chepstow the other day. So I'm going to go with Captain Redbeard for Stuart Coulthard. He's got some decent handicap formula from last year. Beat Definitely Red at Kelso in a conditions race, but also ran third to Vintage Clouds at Haydock. I mean, he likes these flattish tracks and tends to run Haydock pretty well. Aintree, fairly similar, you'd say. He's flat left-handed, so I'd give him a shot. Well, I think it's probably his first or second go in a veterans chase. And in the 2:45 at Wincanton, again, another horse I backed for Cheltenham for tomorrow, White Moon, trained by Colin Tizard. I think his first time out run over fences last year at Cheltenham, when he was brought down at the last coming to challenge, two horses made him the meat and the sandwich and brought him down, basically. On that form, I think he's a very well handicapped horse. He sort of lost the plot a little bit afterwards, but he, again, he's another one that might be best caught fresh.
Okay, DJ, looking at that veterans race, is it you who shares my fetish for On Tour? He always seems to sort of nudge into these races, doesn't he? Is it you or is it Siegel? I can't remember.
Yeah, no, it's not me. It's Siegel. Yeah. He's a lovable old rogue, isn't he? Just kind of plugs on and always seems to get placed. But yeah, no, wouldn't be for me. The one I like on the card is in the 3:35. It's that novices handicap chase. Daisha Abba for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson. I'm convinced he's going to make a really good chaser. He won his only point at Dromahan, a good point, by 4 lengths when there was cutting the ground. And first time out of Chepstow, he created quite an impression when he beat Queen of Hearts. Do you remember the good mare for Kieran Gettins last season? Now, things went a bit awry afterwards at Ascot and Chepstow, but I just think Fences is going to be the making of him, 3 miles, and he's starting off of a mark of 135, like, I get the impression he could get to about 150 over Fences. So I think he's a bit to play around with here. That is Daisha Abbin, the 3:35. And just at Galway as well, possibly the most exciting horse you might see this weekend is running in the 140. Battle Over Diane, sent off favourite for the Ballymore. Completely sweated up beforehand. Lost his race before the race. Lost his action during the race. Battle Over Diane has the potential in years to come but to become a Gold Cup contender. So I just really hope that that he starts his chasing career in style in the 140 at Galway. It's great to see Keith Donoghue riding him as well. Obviously, Jack Kennedy is out injured. So there's a few to look forward to on Sunday.
Which race will Battle of Diane win at the Cheltenham Festival, do you think, DJ?
Now, he's running over 2.6 miles here. So I'd say they'll go down the RSA route with Sam Crowe going down the JLT route. And the aforementioned Sam Crowe schooled at Punchestown last week and, oh yes, baby, they were absolutely thrilled. Keith Donoghue schooled him and he said he was brilliant.
Great stuff. Niall, who's your Sunday best?
So I have two. The first one is in that race you mentioned, the Criterium International at Longchamp. It's the 1 o'clock. Wichita's favourite, but I'd be very disappointed if he can't win this. He was obviously impressive two starts at Newmarket, and he ran quite well in the Dewhurst. He was third, probably just not good enough in the day, but the soft ground here will definitely be in his favour. Armory's a 5-2 shot. Wichita's 6-5 with ourselves at the moment, but yeah, I think he'll win. And then in the 1:15 entry, a horse called Larn caught my eye for Tim Vaughan. He was last seen pulling up on Chase debut, who clearly didn't take defences. He's not really bred for it. He just looked terrified jumping. But he's back over hurdles here. And it was before he went chasing, he ran very well in a Chepstow race behind Django when he was third, but he probably could have won if he was made more use of. He looks in a good mark with a good apprentice book. So if he's a decent price, I'll be backing him. That's Larn in the 1:15 entry.
Thank you very much, chaps. Now, if you were watching last week's postcast, at this stage of the show, we discussed what everyone was doing at the weekend, and Graham Rodway was telling us how he's got friends were coming over, and he didn't mind the lady, but the fella he wasn't too keen on. But I asked him how it went, and he said for the first 40 minutes they didn't say a word, him and the fella. So if you're asking, that didn't go very well. So hopefully, Kiehl's, how did you get on at Ascot? Did you have fun?
Yeah, I had a good time, yeah. I mean, it's one of those annoying things. I mean, obviously, I won a few quid, but I was sick as a parrot after the first race, because I had a good lump on Don Juan Triumph for the Ergo Cup when he didn't run, and I had a good lump on him for an Ascot race 2 weeks earlier when he got beat by Kate Byron, and I was literally, I mean, I had a last minute tenner at 55, but I mean, it just sort of, you know, I was, you know, it's funny when you back a winner at that sort of price and you're upset, but I mean, it just felt a bit like that to me. I felt like I'd missed one. I should have tipped it because I just knew it was its time of year. But no, I backed King of Change. I had a couple of places otherwise. Huge amount of alcohol. Yeah, it was good.
Good. I'm sure there'd be plenty of people really, really feeling sorry for you having a tenner on a 55-1 winner. What are you doing this weekend?
I'm probably having 55 quid on a lot of 10-1 losers to make up for it. No plans this weekend. Probably go down the booze and watch the racing tomorrow, assuming it's all on, but nothing else on.
Okay. DJ, how are you? I haven't seen you for ages. Is everything well in your life, my friend?
Everything is great, yeah. Aoife's pregnant, so...
Fantastic news.
Yeah, so God help us all, but there'll be a little DJ running around next year.
When's the baby due?
April. So
lovely.
The day after the Irish Grand National, yeah, yeah. So it just means that there's less trips to the boozer, because Aoife loves her nights out like I do, and she's not a big fan of like sitting and drinking like water or sparkling water or something. So it's like,
well, you can go down the pub and she can give you a lift home, can't she?
Yeah, she doesn't like that either, unfortunately. Yeah.
Did you get an HWPA nomination, by the way, DJ? Are you on the shortlist for an award? Kiehl's is.
Sorry, you're rubbing it in. Yeah, no, I didn't. Well done, Paul. Well done.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah. I'm still a bit uneasy about tipsters going up for awards because, you know, 80%, you know, even if you're good, 80% of what you talk say turns out to be absolute rubbish, doesn't it? So it's cherry picking to a bit, but it'll be a good day anyway. I'll have to wear a tie, though, this year, won't I?
Have you got one that fits still?
I've got ties that fits. The shirts are the issue.
And Niall, what's your weekend plans?
Yeah, I've been screwed this weekend, and actually an all weekend and every day till next Saturday. So the rest of the lads are on holiday, so I'm just covering basically. But yeah, it's going to be quiet for me.
Goodness, that's no good, is it? Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed. Good luck with all your tips. Good luck with everyone's bets. Hope it's a great weekend. It certainly on paper looks absolutely brilliant. Maddie and co are back on Monday to review the action. We've got golf on Wednesday, football Thursday, and we're back next Friday for another Racing Post weekend postcast.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year 3 times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. Begambleaware.org.